a reading of the scripture like that. That reading was preaching itself seriously. That's why I love the scriptures. You open the Bible and you intend to read it prayerfully. The Holy Spirit illumines our hearts. But unfortunately, also the Holy Spirit calls us to preach. And so we preach and opening up His Word. Paul is writing to the Ephesian church, and he has been showing them from chapter 1. Those of you who have not been following us, we've been tracking on Ephesians, and he has been showing the church the teachings of Jesus Christ, the doctrines of the church, as revealed by the Holy Spirit through the apostles. And not just the doctrines, but also a life characterized by Jesus Christ. A life filled. What does a life that is in Christ looks like? And as I've read Ephesians, it looks like he starts very boldly. If I'm playing a piano, which I cannot play, it'll be loud, yes, but then crescendoing, it will be moving up and up, not in volume, not in words, not in quality, because the quality is the same. But I want to say deeper and deeper and deeper. Chapter 5 does not share something that he has not shared in chapter 2 and chapter 3 and chapter 4. Chapter 5 is all about a walk. What does a walk with Jesus Christ look like? What does it look like to be walking in Jesus? What does a life in Christ look like? That's why those who translate our Bibles from the Greek to the English throughout the years would put titles on top of the chapters or inside the chapters and break the various paragraphs according to their topics or themes. That's why in chapter 5 it begins, walk in love. I wanted to title my sermon this morning, keep walking, because in chapter 4, we were talking about a walk worthy of our calling. But now we keep walking, and Paul breaks it down for us in wondrous ways. And I would like to give, even as much as we've heard read verses 1 to 15 for us, but I want to give an overview of the whole chapter, and I'm going to do so quickly. Do not be afraid. You will have your lunch this afternoon. But I want to give an overview and give you some homework to do. And that homework, again, which I will not check, is to look at chapter 5. Read chapter 5. If at all possible, on your knees or with a bowed heart, asking the questions, Lord, what do you want of me? What do you want of me? You know the answer. But let chapter 5 of this beautiful letter, let chapter 5 illumine your mind. Let chapter 5 of Ephesians break into your heart. Search your heart. After I prayed this morning, you saw me in a few moments, I got a note, and the note was asking for a type of prayer. And I'm just going to answer that prayer, and I'm going to say, do you remember when we had the conflict resolution series? Remember everybody? Everybody said yes? Those that were here, if you don't or not yet, there's no way you'll remember. And one of the things that I said during that time was this: we are never more like God than when we forgive. Remember that? We are never more like God than when we forgive. That's my answer to that prayer. And I'm saying that because here, Paul is asking of the church in Ephesus to do something that you and I, from time to time, say, excuse me, I'm not God. When we are called to forgive something that is very difficult, when we are called to do anything that seems beyond our capacity to do, we say things like, to err is human, to forgive is divine, as if that is something that is noble. I err, everybody errs, we all make mistakes, and I can't go there, that is God. But Paul, right from the onset, calls the church, and right, by the way, that first verse becomes a path for the whole chapter. Therefore, be imitators of God. Therefore, imitate God. Excuse me. I am just a human being. I am weak, and you are asking me to imitate God. How do I do that? He says, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you. Be imitators of God in what respect? In love. In love. Walk as God has sown you. By the way, that idea of walk is not that runway strut. It's not the crip walk, whatever that is. It's not, it's a life, obviously. The idea of walking has it in mind. Our lifestyle, the character of our day-to-day lives. He says, in your day-to-day, be imitators of God. Imitate God. But this message is not sent to the world out there. It is sent to the church. It is sent to those who call themselves believers, children of God, those who call themselves Christian. And Paul is saying, walk in love. As you have been loved, walk in that same love. Let your lives be love. But you cannot do that unless the penny drops in your heart, unless it is made real in your heart. Listen, friends, you cannot love anybody unless you know how much you have been loved. Unless, when I say you know, I'm not talking about just that head thing. Until you contemplate, you sit down and listen to God saying, I have loved you with an undying love. Until you hear God say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. When you think of that kind of love, you will be able to see the necessity, the rationale behind the call to walk in love, to imitate God. God has many qualities, many attributes. God is a just God. God is a peaceful God. God is an all-knowing God. These are attributes. These are things that God, that characterize Him. But about no other attribute of God is it said, God is peace. God is that. God, except for love. God is love. God is love. That's who, that's His name. That's His absolute character. Absolutely, I don't mean that there are characters about God that are bigger in quality than others. But this character of love towards His creatures is so high. It must shape our lives as Christians. We must be shaped by the love of Jesus Christ in our lives. That's the first part, and it is by no means a small part. It's a big part that also shapes everything in our lives. Paul continues to talk about we ought to be walking in Christ's light, our lives. He says, you were once darkness. I like that, how Paul personifies these sentiments, these thoughts. He says, you were once darkness, but now you are light. Not just you walked in darkness, but you were darkness. Man steeped in sin and death, and he pushes that as darkness, thinking that we were in light, knowing everything there is to know, people thinking great of us, but apart from Christ, we were darkness. Verses 8 to 10, he's talking about we were darkness, but now he says, you are light. How are you light? Because the light of Christ lives in us. The light of Christ, the light that is Christ, lives in us. He came, He is light, and He came into the world. That is Jesus Christ, and that's what John says about Him. And He dwelt within us. We then become His light in a dark world. We live in Christ's love. We are shaped by His love. Also, we who have been illuminated, the light of God has shone in our hearts. We are called to be light in the same way in this dark world. Oh, my friends, I worry so much. I'm sure unduly, because God is in full control. But our hearts, we ought to worry. And when, instead of spreading the light of God, but are participants in the darkness of this world, when Christ is maligned because of us, when we act in ways that show our previous life apart from Christ. I don't know if I'm being clear. Let me be clear a little bit. I lived in a pagan world. I lived in a pagan world. Some of you here will know what I'm talking about because some of you lived in a pagan world. By pagan, I mean worshiping everything but God. Or worshiping God alongside everything else. Ancestors, dead spirits. And as a result, living my life as if the Almighty God does not exist. More worried about what my ancestors think of me. That I've got to slaughter this and burn that and do all of this to please them. But not caring about the Almighty God. He would be satisfied with me coming to church on a Sunday morning. With me serving as an altar boy in the church. He would be happy with that. That's what I mean when I say I lived in a pagan world. Unfortunately, we live in a world where those who frequent these buildings, which we call churches, people who frequent these buildings, yet their lives, our lives, add to the darkness that is out there. Our presence in the world does not shine, does not dispel darkness, yet we call ourselves children of the light. Let it not be so. Paul calls this church in Ephesus, that was steeped in paganism until Christ called them, and he calls them, and Paul tells them, walk worthy of your calling. You are now children of love, children of light. Therefore, let your light shine. I said, I'm saddened because you only see it on TV. You see it even in our relationships. When there's all kinds of really bad things, not just done in secret, but publicly. We participate in all kinds of sexual immorality. We participate in all kinds of bad talk. All kinds of greed, all kinds of malice one to another, and we are unashamed about it. I want to say to you, friends, today, when that goes rampant, it tells me one of two things. It's either the light is daringly dimmed and no care there. It's just a little spark, just not growing, or there is no light at all. And in that case, I call you friend. If you participate in these things that God does not want, if you are comfortable in walks of unrighteousness, in lewd speech, bad speech, if you are comfortable in these things that God calls unrighteous, I call you friend. With all love from Christ, repent and turn to him that he may shine his light in your life. That you too, who once was darkness, may be light. Paul is calling the church to live lives shaped by the love of God, but also illuminated by the light that is Christ. All of these things flow one into another. They are not isolated. He calls the church to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He calls the church to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Friends, when Paul says, be filled with the Holy Spirit, he's not talking about ecstasy, craziness. Hallelujah. He's not talking about life. If the Holy Spirit moves you in that direction, let that be. But he calls us to be filled in increasing measure, day after day. You cannot be a Christian if you do not have the Holy Spirit in you already. Okay? Let's just get that clear. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit in his heart. Every person born of Christ has the Holy Spirit. Don't let that be. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. If you confess Jesus as Lord with your lips and believe in his heart that God raised him from the dead, you cannot confess that without the Holy Spirit. You cannot be born again unless the Holy Spirit gives birth to you. But Paul says, be filled every day. Inasmuch blood runs through your veins, inasmuch blood runs through every artery of your body, let the Holy Spirit dwell in you richly, in increasing measure. Why? So that you may be wise. You may be filled with all wisdom. What is wisdom? Here's what wisdom is. Coming from a third language English speaker, let's go for it. Wisdom is the application of what you already know. You know something, the wise thing is to apply that which you know. The Holy Spirit in our hearts opens up. That's why I said at the beginning, read chapter 5 on your knees, prayerfully. Read all of Scripture, by the way. That's a good way to read Scripture, with a bowed heart, a humble mind, prayerfully as you read it. And as you do that, the Holy Spirit of God fills you with knowledge. You start to know this God more and more intimately as you hear from Him, as you read His Word. You start to know Him. You start to know all His attributes. You start to know things about Him, things that pleases Him, things that displeases Him, things He loves and likes, things He loathes, He does not love at all. You start to know Him more, and as you know Him, you start to act accordingly. That is wisdom. Knowledge applied into everyday life. Into everyday life with your material goods, with all the wealth or the lack thereof. How do you act wisely? How do you act accordingly? In our relationships, Paul will go on in the latter chapters, in the latter parts of the verses, talking about husband and wife relationships, mutual submission, honoring, respecting, loving, sacrificially, giving up ourselves, our rights to be pleased and all of that, but deferring to the other. Wisdom is the application of all that we know about God. Paul is calling the church to be shaped by the love of Jesus, that our lives will be illuminated by Him in our hearts, by the light of Jesus. And He calls us that our lives will be guided by the filling of the Holy Spirit, by a Spirit-filled wisdom. We are guided by that. And this is where I ought to stop. But the overview, as you will read at home, doing your homework, right? Good. As you will go on reading the Scriptures, as you read chapter 5 on your own, you will see this Spirit-filled wisdom, this light shining in our hearts and shining and dispelling darkness in the world, this life that is shaped, this life that is shaped by the love of God must overflow into our community. By our community, I'm talking about us, you and me, together. It must. You can never be Spirit-filled and hate your brother. You cannot be walking in wisdom and be greedy at the same time and speak all kinds of bad stuff about each other and about anybody for that matter, including those who are deemed enemies. You know, I should stick to my script, because if I say more, I'm going to talk nonsense. But I said I'm worried. When our lives as Christians are reactionary to the darkness out there. And we marry our lives to the isms of this world, the political stuff of this world. We come across as most unloving, and they label us even sometimes when we are not. And I'm saying this in the light of the divisions that you find in our beautiful Canada, in the United States, oh my goodness me, in all of Europe, in all of Africa, in all of the world. Where Christians are maligned, yes, because we live as Christ. Our morality, our ethic is in Christ Jesus. But sometimes, we want to treat the world like the world is treating us. And then the world turns to us and says, look at them. They call themselves Christians. Let it not be so with us, my friends. Our lives that are spirit-filled, wise, light and love must spill over into our community here, but over into our neighborhoods, into our families where Christ is not known, where our children, our spouses, our cousins, everyone else does not know Jesus. How will they know that you are Christ? By your love, my dear friend. They will know by your love that you belong to Jesus. They will know by your wisdom. Do you know, I know some of you pretty well. And I hear stories that when there is trouble in the family, listen, can I talk to you? The one that is a Christian in the family becomes the focal point because there's something about him or her that is attractive to the rest of the household. But not because they're handsome or pretty, but because there's something in their hearts that the family sees. They may not like you very much. They may not like the God you serve very much. But when things grow tough, they know to call and say, I know you're going to church on Sunday. Pray for me, please. Have you ever had that? I know you pray every now and again. Please remember me in your prayers. Why? It's because the light of Jesus is shining through you. Because the love of Jesus is displayed in your life. Why? Because the Spirit-filled wisdom is overflowing. And you are overflowing with the Holy Spirit. You are not throwing it at them, but it is an inevitable byproduct of a life in Christ Jesus. It is the natural fruit, of what it means to be a Christian. Christ in me shows out in love, shows out in light. He shows out in spirit-filled wisdom. And he just overflows our life and our relationships in all of these things. This is what God is calling us to, my friend. And I pray, in as much as I pray this for myself, I pray for you as well. I pray for the flock that God has asked me to serve. He is the great shepherd. I am but an under shepherd. And in my shepherding, I pray this, that you and I will live intentionally under Jesus Christ. This life is not easy. It was not meant to be. But in the face of the enemy that wants to bring you down and tear you apart like a roaring lion, Let your love shine. Let your love shine. Let Christ live through you as you order your life in absolute wisdom. Let the Spirit of God come out of you in your speech. Instead of bad speech, speak Psalms. Speak the Scriptures. Sing, hum the Scriptures in your heart and your mind. Let somebody ask, what was that lovely melody? What was that that you were singing? Let it ooze out of you. Let your relationships reflect the gospel. Let your relationships, husband and wife, children and parents, and friends and relatives, strangers included, let your life only reflect the gospel. The gospel is this. You and I walked in darkness, and we were children of the anger of God. We, once upon a time, were the objects of His judgment. And His judgment against us would be totally just. But God, in His mercy, came down from heaven and became one of us. He took on flesh, born of a virgin, became a baby, and He grew like all of us, tempted in every way, yet kept the law, lived a life that was sinless, so that when the time was right, He would go and die on the cross. He will die a death He did not deserve, but a death that you and I deserve by virtue of our sin. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. But the death did not come to us. It came to Jesus. The death we deserved fell on Him. He died, was buried. 3 days later, He was victorious because death could not keep Him. He was victorious over death, even that on our behalf, so that you and I, who place our trust in Him, may never die. We die once, the Scripture says, and then we live eternally with Him. We who place our trust in Him. He dies, He rises again, and He ascends to the heavenlies, and He sends us His Holy Spirit to dwell in us, God in us, to light His word in our hearts, to enlighten us, so that we may walk in His ways. He moves us, He urges us, He spurs us on. Oh, my friend, we do nothing in this walk on our own steam. It is all by Him. And He promised the Holy Spirit who comes and indwells us, but He also promised, Jesus said, He will come again to take His own to Himself, that where He is, we may be also, so that where He is, we may dwell with Him eternally. My friends, if that is not good news, then I don't know what it is. That's the gospel. Then, dear friends, let your life reflect that gospel. in all your life alone, in the privacy of your life, but also publicly, in this place, in your home, and in the public out there, amongst absolute strangers. Let your light shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. We praise you, O God, for all that you are. You're a God who is kind, worthy of my worship, worthy of all worship, of all your peoples, of all that you have created. You are worthy. Come, Lord Jesus, I pray. Come and walk with us, I pray, that we may walk in you every day of our lives. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.